Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
I'm Howard Feldman. A much more serious story, and it really is just a horror. And in terms of what is going on in Iran, maybe it isn't. Maybe it isn't a horror because the women of Iran are standing up to the brutality that they have experienced over the last number of years. But unfortunately, an Iranian teen girl was beaten to death by police for tearing up Khomeini's photo. That's according to a report. An Iranian middle school girl was beaten to death after police officers found a torn up photo of former Iranian Supreme Leader Ruhollah Khomeini in one of her school books. Local news outlets in the Sistan and in the province has reported on a Sunday evening. The women of Iran protesting, they are rising up and they are sending out the message that so much and no more, but in the meantime, unfortunately, paying with their lives. We wanted to chat to Tembisa Fakuda, who's a senior researcher and a director at AfriSid. Good morning. Thanks for joining us once again. How are you doing?
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So can you give us the, is there any sense, is there any real sense of what is happening in Iran, given the fact that there's obviously limited amount of information that can come through?
Well, I think they're trying very hard to keep the world out of their business of oppression and suppression of rights.
Right.
But we do get news of what's going on, notwithstanding that the government has decided to suspend internet and social media is also suppressed. There is somehow smuggling of footage and messaging from Iran, and other big media institutions like BBC and CNN are continuing to report on what's going on. So yes, we do know what's going on. The protests are continuing, but the government has vowed to suppress that those protests. On Saturday, the head of the Islamic Muslim Brigade said that they were going to suppress and get rid of this protest once and for all, but we haven't seen that happening. The protest continues, particularly at universities, which are now leading these protests.
Right. Is it likely? Are they likely to succeed? I don't think we've seen, you know, we've seen the protest starting up and then fizzling out over the last number of years. I don't think, if I can recall correctly, that we've seen this type of sustained protest and pressure on government.
No, we haven't. And I think the government is now at the verge of trying to have a policy shift. They might, for example, make some concessions on one or two things because they realize now that the best you can do to suppress these protests is to shoot into submission all the protesters, which is going to be an impossible thing to do. So they are likely to come up with some kind of, a compromise position on one particular issue. Maybe they might just compromise on hijab.
Right,
who knows?
Right.
But the protesters have now moved on from hijab. They're now calling on for the resignation of Ayatollah Khamenei, who is a spiritual leader, and dissolving of the government. So the protests have moved from where it started, which was basically protesting Mahsa Amini's death and the hijab. Now they are calling for the dissolution of the government and the resignation of Ayatollah Khamenei, which will, of course, certainly change the entire Iranian political infrastructure.
And it's difficult to see it properly, but is this a revolution of the women, or are the women just the catalyst for this protest in Iran?
It's a revolution of everyone in Iran. Iran is going through a lot in terms of sanctions, economic problems. It's got political challenges. So it's going through a lot, and there are a lot of young people who have a problem with Iran exporting their own version of a Shia expansionism in countries such as Lebanon and Yemen and others in the Middle East. So it's a combination of issues, and young people are just basically sick and tired of that. And now we see this, articulated in the manner in which it's articulated at the moment. And I think the Iranian government is in the corner in this regard, because it's not just about hijab. It's about a lot of other things. There are a lot of problems
would be, yeah,
in Iran.
Yeah, right. And of course, well, I don't know what the reaction there would be, but we've certainly seen a much closer alliance between Iran and Russia. And that certainly must also just add to some of the pressure that the government is feeling from the people of the country.
Yes, I think so. I mean, this further isolation is not doing good. You know, people are not going to eat ideology. Young people want to continue participating in the improvement of the country, but at the same time, they want to be part of the globe. You know, they want to deal with issues that all of us are concerned about, you know, environmental degradation and just, you know, the general improvement of world issues. And the Iranian youth have been isolated, and most of them at the moment are really hungry for returning into the world, participation, and be part of the bigger world so that they can, you know, live like other young people are doing. And at the moment, that's not the case. And they continue to be in touch with some of the Iranian diaspora in various countries where they are doing very well. And they remain in these socio-economic and political, you know, archaic methods of doing business. And as a result, they are saying, no, not anymore. And, you know, the Ayatollah Khomeini and the Iranian government have blamed the USA for sponsoring this protest, further, of course, angering these youth who feel that, you know, they're undermined. Every time they come up with protests, they're going to be accused of being sponsored by foreign actors. And that has further angered the Iranian youth. And that's why you see this intensification of the protests over the past couple of days.
And that's going to be interesting because, as you say, there's probably the best way forward for the Iranian government, if they want to hold on to power, is to concede, to just open that pressure valve a little bit and allow small victories that they can live with. But it seems as though the instinct is not to do that, and it's going to be very hard for them to do that. It's going to be fascinating to see, and certainly we'll keep following this story. Tembisa Fakuda, who is the senior researcher and director at AFRAID, thank you as always for chatting to us.